I'd like to read a well-known scripture in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Speaking of Jesus, and it says, "And he entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus. And he was chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the crowd, because he was little in stature. And running on before, he got up into a sycamore, that he might see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when he came up to the place, Jesus looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him with joy. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, He has turned in to lodge with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." It's nice to read from the 66 books in the Bible. We tend to sometimes focus on one or two. But it's also good not to neglect what I would call the old favourites. Stories that we learned as children. And to go through them again. And to see that they are packed full of detail. And that we can allow them to ignite our interest afresh. This is a story that we all know, and I'm not going to say anything tonight that you've never heard before. But it's great to just remind ourselves that this actually happened. This was a real event. And the Lord Jesus passed through Jericho. That's the first thing that comes to our attention. Jericho. Jericho is 258 meters below sea level. It's, by different calculations, some would say that it's the lowest town or city in the world. Jerusalem, I think, is 400 meters above sea level, so it's a very steep descent down to Jericho. What it really speaks of is the Lord going to that low place. Couldn't have gone lower. Jericho was a city that should never have been built. It was a city of the curse. We all know the story of Joshua going round that city seven times and the walls coming down, and it should never have been rebuilt. But of course, man in his disobedience rebuilds Jericho. And man in his disobedience has built much of what we see in this world today. The whole system of this world and how it has rebelled against God. And yet, despite that, if you say there was one place you'd have thought the Lord might have avoided going to, it would have been Jericho. But the Lord is seen going through Jericho. There's nowhere that man is in this world today that the Lord cannot reach him where they are. Doesn't matter how far down you are in this world, the Lord Jesus has been there and further. And it says, "And behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus." A man called Zacchaeus. And it tells us something about him. And it's amazing in a few lines how we can learn so much about one man. What was his CV? It says here he was a chief tax gatherer. He'd done well for himself. He'd got to the top of his profession. But you look at his profession, and the tax gatherer, well, tax gatherers today may be a very responsible and respectable role, but in those days, a tax gatherer was hated, because a tax gatherer was in the pocket of Rome. And remember that Israel was under the control of the Roman Empire at this time. So for a Jewish person, and we know he's a Jew because it says so at the end of that book we read, he was a son of Abraham. For a Jewish person to, you might say, sell his soul to the enemy, inasmuch as he would take money from his own people to give to the Roman power, you might say, he could have hardly gone any further down in the estimation of his fellow man. And he was the chief tax gatherer. Well, a tax gatherer, Scripture speaks about tax gatherers and sinners. He was just bundled in with the lowest of the low, as far as men would think. And he was a chief tax gatherer. And it says he was rich. Well, it's often been pointed out that you would never get rich working for the Roman Empire. The soldier was told to be content with his pay. There must have been a question mark, a bit of an issue about the pay, but he was told to be content with it. He's never going to become rich. And you wouldn't become rich as a Jew working for the Romans unless you were crooked. And this man would have had plenty of opportunity to be a rogue. So he was the chief tax gatherer and he was rich. But then there's something else about this man. Because we could spend all day talking about how bad he was. I know that there's a view that he was a righteous man, but I can tell you that there's nothing in this scripture that says anything other than this man was a rogue. He was a sinner, and each one of us here are sinners. Every single person in this world, and as I've often said, in scripture we get extremes. He was a sinner, he was a chief sinner, and he was in Jericho. But it says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now the footnote there says who he is. I think this was maybe more about curiosity. I don't know. Wouldn't want to make too much of a judgment on it. But he had a desire to see Jesus. This man Jesus was coming through his town. And indeed, the Lord Jesus has been presented all over the world. All over the world. The backwaters, places like Findochty. The Lord Jesus is known. And it says he could not for the crowd. Couldn't see Jesus for the crowd because he was little in stature. So he has a plan. He has a plan. He has a strategy. He's going to run on ahead and he climbs up a sycamore tree. Now I've maybe said it before. Our neighbour's got a sycamore tree. I was told it was the weed of trees. The other year a good bit of it was cut down. I was delighted. But it's just grown so quickly again. And this was the sort of tree that Zacchaeus went up, that he might see him, for he was going to pass by that way. You know, you see celebrities visiting a place, and people may go out, not just now with the COVID restrictions, but people go out to see somebody that they think a lot of, or somebody who's famous. I remember back in 1977, I was only 6 years old, but I remember it quite clearly. My mum taking myself and my sister up to Union Street to see the Queen. I think it was maybe the first time I'd seen the Queen. I'm not just totally sure I was completely enamoured with the whole scenario. I thought she might have a crown in her head and look a bit more dazzling than she did. But I remember my mother saying, "Look, there she goes. That's the Queen." And I remember looking across the street and there was a woman coming out of a car and that was the Queen. Well, I think it would be a bit like this for Zacchaeus. He was wanting to see Jesus for who he was. And then we come to this point where Jesus looked up and saw him. Now just think about this. The crowds, the mayhem. There would have been no police officers or stewards to make sure that nobody was getting too close to the celebrity. He'd have been jostled by the crowds. You think of the elections going on in America just now. And the two candidates, Biden and Trump, one of them looking out towards the networks to try and get as many people as possible hearing his message. The other one, Trump, perhaps texting or Twittering on his phone to try and reach his millions of supporters. I wondered if any of them would have stopped to speak to a man halfway up a tree. But Jesus does. He stops. And he knows this person's name. He said to him, "Zacchaeus." He knows Zacchaeus' name. He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows everything about Zacchaeus. And he knows everything about you and me. You'd have thought, well, if you'd known about Zacchaeus, you'd have just walked past him. That's what everybody else was doing. Nobody was giving Zacchaeus a leg up to see the Lord Jesus. Ah, but he says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." You know, when the gospel message goes out, it goes out with a word of urgency. Make haste. The gospel doesn't go out with a view that at some future date, perhaps, a discussion may take place which may result in some resolution. No, it's a matter that must be dealt with now. And Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Come down. Well, I don't want to spiritualize this too much, but in the gospel, one of the things that's absolutely necessary is that we repent. And that is to make nothing of ourselves, to recognize that we're wrong. Pride is what comes between man and God. Pride is what is classed as the sin of the devil. I think Paul wrote to Timothy and spoke about this sin of the devil, pride, being puffed up. So Zacchaeus has to come down. And the gospel goes out tonight with a clarion message to the sinner to respond to the message of God's love and mercy against a backdrop of bleakness, of sin, of being condemned before God. What's the response going to be? What's the response going to be? Jesus knows all about us. He knows all about every sin we ever committed. We know that when the Lord Jesus was arrested, they put something over his head, or they covered up his eyes. And then they punched him and they hit him. And they said, "Prophesy, who is it that struck thee?" You think of those soldiers crowding round about the Lord Jesus and the way they spoke to him and dealt with him. The Lord Jesus, he knew every single voice. He knew the imprint of every single fist that hit him. He knew the DNA of the spitter that was fired against him. He knows all about these men. Yet what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The forgiveness that comes from God's heart is open to every one of us tonight. He says, "Come, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house." This is an immediate matter. Not that I'm going to put something in my diary for a future day because I have a very busy day. I have a very busy set of events. No, today I must remain in thy house. Not just come in briefly and then move on. Now, physically, we know that's what the Lord did. The Lord was moving on to the cross. He was moving on to Golgotha, to Calvary, to the cross, where he was going to hang, where he was going to shed his precious blood. He was going to die for you and for me and for Zacchaeus. But that's not what he says here. He says, "I must remain in thy house." The Lord Jesus was looking ahead. You know, I suppose the businesses that are going to survive this latest crisis are the ones that look ahead. Well, if I can say the business of heaven looks ahead into eternity, it's a matter of eternal importance. So how is Zacchaeus going to respond? How do you and I respond? It says of him here that he made haste and came down and received him with joy. He was obedient. He made haste. He took it seriously. The gospel's got to be taken seriously. He came down. Well, as I say, I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but I think that's an important aspect in the gospel, is that we do away with the bit of ourself and make much of Christ. It's not about ourself, it's about him. And he received him with joy. To receive the Lord Jesus with joy. That is the great end of the gospel. And all murmured. Well, I'm not going to say too much about the crowd, because you don't get much encouragement. There's not much encouragement. We spoke this afternoon about a woman who took an alabaster flask and poured precious ointment on the Lord. And, you know, she was in the company of people you thought might have known better. And they murmured as well. They grumbled about it. They had all sorts of better ideas of how this money could have been spent. But that woman had an appreciation of the Lord Jesus. And Zacchaeus here has an eternal appreciation of the Lord Jesus. The crowd, well, they're not very helpful. What they say, he has turned into lodge with a sinful man. Well, we can say thank God for that. Thank God that the Lord Jesus turned into lodge with a sinful man. Sinful men and women like you and me. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, now this is where some people take the interpretation that Zacchaeus was actually quite a righteous man. But those that have looked into the language, the original languages, say that he wasn't standing here telling the crowd or telling the Lord what he'd done up until this point. What he was doing was he was standing, making a statement of how things were going to be from now on. He makes a statement. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Well, that was quite a statement because he was rich. Remember the rich young ruler? He was told to give up his goods to the poor and he couldn't do it. He went away disappointed and missed out on the blessing. But he says, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold. I think the law only required him to return twofold. But here he was going to go and return fourfold. What's the Lord Jesus' response? He says, today salvation has come to this house. That's another bit of evidence to say that this man was a rogue. Salvation didn't come because of his good living, because of him abiding by the law and being a good tax gatherer. No, salvation came to the house because he'd received the Lord Jesus that day. Looking on, I suppose, to the Lord Jesus shedding his blood so that that blood could cover every single sin caused by Zacchaeus, by you and by me. And what a statement the Lord makes. And he finishes up by saying that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That which is lost. We're living in a world that's lost. Lost the plot. Lost the way. Nobody seems to have any idea. Up until now, at least, men had various thoughts and theories and ideas as to how they might manage to get themselves out of the various holes that they've got themselves into. But I think I can stand here quite comfortably and say that nobody's got a clue what to do now. There's nothing very impressive that comes from those that rule, and I say that with a lot of sympathy for those that rule. They have a difficult job to do. But one of the things that I can say is that lives are being changed. This world continues to spin towards judgment, but lives are being changed, and those who are lost are being found. That doesn't mean to say that Zacchaeus' life from this point on would have been a bed of roses. He was still a tax gatherer, and he was still a chief tax gatherer, and he probably still wasn't very popular with his fellow Jew. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because I've got a bit to add on to it. It's about an ex-colleague of mine called Gordon. And I know that I've told the story before, so you'll just have to bear with me. But it's a good story. Any story that tells about anyone coming to know the Lord Jesus is a good story. He worked in the police in Aberdeen. He was married with a couple of young girls. He was an atheist. By his own admission, he drank far too much. His life was not really going anywhere. And he was working with a colleague who spoke to him quite regularly about the Lord Jesus. And I suppose preached to him in a way. And there was one day he was driving along in his car and a song came on the radio or his cassette or CD or whatever. And the song is called The Road to Hell. And the refrain repeats over and over again, this could be the road to hell. And Gordon was driving along in his car and he said, that's me. That's me and I'm on the road to hell. And as a consequence of that, he was saved. Well and truly saved. He actually put up with quite a bit of stick in the police. He put me to shame, I think, because he showed his colours very, very clearly. Very, very openly. He actually once came along to our hall upstairs. I remember that. Anyway, he retired a few years ago. And I just tell this story because, you know, a Christian's life is not necessarily made easy. But there's something different about a Christian in a way that a Christian, a believer, who's got a living link with the Lord Jesus, deals with difficulty. I got a message from him, and I've just written it out because I would get it wrong. I got a message from him a few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago. Let's read it out. He says, "Hi, Colin. I hope you and your family are well. I have some painful news to share, which I'm not sure has managed to get to you yet. On the 16th of September, my 60th birthday, my eldest daughter, Gillian, died after an all-too-brief battle with bowel and liver cancer. The doctors had been treating her for some other illness, and therefore the cancer wasn't diagnosed until it was far too late to do anything about it, and we just watched her fade away. She was still working at the beginning of August. I don't know if Gillian is one of the many who will have lost their life or their health over this past period because their diagnosis has not been picked up because of the all-consuming focus on COVID. I don't know. But actually, the bit I wanted to read to you was the next bit, because this is what makes Gordon and this is what makes believers different. This is what changed Zacchaeus was changed towards. To somebody who was a grubby, scheming rogue of a tax gatherer. This is what comes in, this is a real story. This is the thing. Lives are changed, hearts are turned round. Gordon went on. He says, "We know. This is a girl who's probably about 30. We know she has been called home to glory, and we do have a peace about it that transcends understanding. Nonetheless, her passing has left a fathomless hole, which I know only the Father heart of God can fill." You know, what impresses me about that is that's a man who wasn't brought up like you and me. Wasn't brought up going to the meeting. Wasn't brought up with any faith. But he came to know the Lord Jesus because somebody spoke to him about Jesus. And all these years down the road, he can come across a tragic incident where he loses his eldest daughter, who's, as I say, around about 30 years old. And he can say, you know, it's all in the hands of God. It's all in the hands of the Lord Jesus, and the Father heart of God will be sufficient for his path, for the rest of their pathway here. I just think that's so impressive. And when I read a story like Zacchaeus, I know that's a story that we know very, very well. I'm reminded that every day, that this day of grace continues, there are souls like him, like you and like me, whose path is being moved from one that's destined for a lost eternity to one that's destined to being with Christ when he returns for us. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the Lord to come and to take us to be with him. What a terrible thing it will be for those who miss that opportunity, for those who miss going with him, and those who are left here for judgment. A terrible matter. But I trust that as we read these well-known scriptures tonight, well-known story, that we are touched afresh by the Lord Jesus, the one who took time to call down Zacchaeus from that tree on his way to Calvary, the same one that would appeal to us tonight. Well, maybe we know what it is to call him and to own him and to enjoy him as our Saviour. May God add his blessing.